What's happening, America?
I love the switch.
Blog
Here we
Talk
go.
Radio.
Here it is, Robbie. Ready? For the remix.
Come on, Mr. DJ, man. Get it right.
How's the remix, man? What? Get it right. What?
Talking sports, right. People. We got NBA playoffs. We got NFL draft recap.
My time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot
him. Yeah, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th man. You know, even though Rob is giving me a hard time, you know, with my little remix, that's okay. Today is, of course, what's today? Today is Tuesday, April the 30th. Man, time is flying by, and you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Robert. I think I love Roger Goodell Ford, but that's okay. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
We're having some fun on this Tuesday night, always. I got to check in.
He's a hypocrite.
Sentinel's coming anyway. I got to check in, sir. You know, how you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. A little jet lag. Got in from Baltimore today, but hey, I'm ready to talk some sports, and we want to hear from the sports nation. Tell us your thoughts on the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs. Go ahead and give them the numbers and how they can reach us, Dr. Drake.
Yes, sir. The number to call into the show, as always, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. That's how you can reach us. If you want to follow us, we are on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. The Twitter handle, it is at 12th man sports. And we are on Facebook talking sports 12th man. Or if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, you can find us as well. So there's a lot of different ways how you can reach out to us. And Rob, man, we got a lot of things to talk about. I was just going to say, just throw out the NFL draft, but there's been so many things that we can discuss. So I'll let you open out with some topics. Mr. Tim Tebow, is he actually getting a tryout with the Saints? I don't know. But anyway, we'll talk about that, where he's headed in some NBA playoffs, which is pretty big and a lot of good topics. So how do you want to start, Mr. Ford?
Well, I mean, this Jason Collins story has seemed to be taking the nation by storm here. And we just had a brief thought here. Tim Tebow, of course, tells the nation that he's a Christian. And the nation tells him to keep it to himself. Jason Collins comes out and tells the nation that he's gay, and everyone's calling him a hero. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, being judgmental toward anyone. I hope nobody, you know, is going to look at me differently. But as you know, it's just like where are we heading here as a nation here? When you have, and I'm not a Tim Tebow football fan. You know, anybody can go back and look at the history of our show. See, I've been very critical of his play on the football field. But I always thought he was a, you know, outstanding human being. And so it's just strange to me that we're critical of him as a Christian, but we're going to, you know, accept Jason Collins for being a hero. And, you know, and I think it was pretty bold of him to come out and say, but I just think, you know, why are we critical to Christians, but we're accepting of someone who comes out and admits he's gay? I don't know if anybody else has some feedback on that.
Yeah, I mean, it is very very controversial, Rob, in that aspect, because, you know, as you listen to certain comments from Chris Broussard, and then, you know, everyone was kind of taking the stance, like, we don't agree with what he said, you know, and it is tough, man, because, you know, we live in America where it is supposedly have a freedom of speech, you know, and different things. And like you said, you know, you're not criticizing the fact of who Jason Collins is. But like you said, it's a big, big double standard. And, you know, like I said, you know, we have the right to express our thoughts about it, too. You know, like I said, there's hero is one of those words, Rob, that you can it's one of those kind of things where you can call military folks heroes as opposed to just, you know, Jason Collins. You know, I don't know if that's the same type of stratosphere in that aspect, but, you know, like you said, I fully agree with what you said. It's kind of a situation where you can't have it both ways. You know, let Tebow do his thing. He's never I don't think he's ever, like, try to bash it or try to, you know, come across and do certain things, but he just wanted to say this is how I express myself. So give him credit on both aspects of that.
Yeah. But I know we didn't want to, you know, spend too much time on that topic, but it was just something that I just kind of hit me and just wanted to share to see if anybody had any feedback on that. Once again, you guys can call if you do, 424-243-9519. But meanwhile, we're going to move on to some additional topics. And if anybody does have any thoughts on that, feel free to call or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's move on and talk about some NBA playoffs, Rob, that's going on right now. So we can devote as much time as possible to my favorite sport, football, NFL draft. I got to recap all that stuff. Let's talk about the Warriors tonight. The Warriors are actually playing the playoff game too, Rob. And the Warriors are actually taking on the Nuggets. I don't know if you want to get a quick thought about your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure you're a little upset about Jerry Jack, but I'm not going to open up that wound. But the game, obviously, sir.
Well, Jared Jack has been having a phenomenal series for Golden State, and Golden State has been playing tremendously well. I didn't see this coming in this series. I thought this would have been a Denver cakewalk in this series, but they're obviously outplaying Denver. Denver gets the win tonight at home, but I think Golden State finishes this series off in six at the rate that they're playing. They had opportunities to come back and win this game even tonight, and I saw just about that entire game in its entirety tonight. And Golden State have the opportunity to come back and win this game even tonight. So I expect them to win game six and face the Spurs in the next round, which should be possibly an interesting series because Golden State is an up-and-down team. And even without David Lee, they still have a lot of size now that they have Andrew Bogut down there and the big kid from Vanderbilt and Carl Landry coming off the bench. And it should be a good series, but I would expect the Spurs would still move on and win that particular series. But I do expect Golden State to finish off Denver in game six.
Gotcha. Let's keep it going, Rob, with the other series that are actually going on right now. Any thoughts as far as, you know, if you want to kind of talk about the Spurs and the Lakers? It just seems like the Lakers are actually imploding, sir.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't even think we have to waste too much time talking about that series. I mean, the Spurs just dominated from all four games, wasn't even close. But I know we're going to get to the Lakers here shortly, how they can rebuild their roster. I know they have a lot of Laker fans who listen to the show, even though we're Laker haters. But but we'll get to them in a little bit just to appease our Laker fans out there. But, yeah, just getting, you know, the Spurs easily won that series. The most intriguing series that's left to me is the Memphis Clippers series. And this series definitely is going to go seven games. I think the Clippers still going to squeak by and win it, and I'll be paying attention to this game tonight. But I think this series is definitely going to go seven games. I definitely think OKC, even without Russell Westbrook, will still hold on and knock off Houston. But I actually think the winner of this Clippers-Memphis series will beat OKC in the next round now without Russell Westbrook. And so I'm looking at a Spurs and Clippers Western Conference Finals with the Spurs advancing to the NBA Finals. That's just kind of where I see things happening now with this Russell Westbrook injury kind of shaking up things. Of course, Miami had a cakewalk over Milwaukee. I think the Bulls will hold on and beat the Nets. I just think they're a little bit more physical, a little bit more hungry team. And I think the Bulls is going to be a tough out for the Miami Heat. I think the Bulls can extend that series to six games for the Heat in the next round. They're a team that always plays the Heat tough, and they're a physical team. And I think they can take the Heat to six games in the next round, but I still like the Heat to win the series. And moving on to the other series, I think the Pacers and the Hawks are going to go seven games. Beware the Hawks. They're playing well. I still like the Pacers to win in seven. I think the Knicks will finish off the Celtics in the next round. And we're still looking at a Heat-Knicks Eastern Finals with the Heat advancing to play the Spurs. I still like the Heat over the Spurs in about seven games.
It's very impressive. If anyone has any questions or anything you want to add to this particular, to Roberts, predictions for the NBA playoffs, you can definitely call us, tweet us, all that fun stuff. I like where your head's at, Rob, a lot of different things. You know, like I said, it's the first way, the games that the Hawks are playing, the first two games, I'm sure we thought the series was going to end in four games, so I'm actually proud of the Hawks for coming back and doing what had to be done. Very impressive, to say the least. And, yeah, we'll keep an eye on as far as what's going on. I was going to ask you who you thought was going to win between the Knicks and the Celtics. And the Celtics are proven to be mentally tough. Like you said, they're going to pull it out. And like you said, it's going to be who would have thought that OKC missing Russell Westbrook. I mean, I'm sure we gave him a hard time last year as far as, you know, him not being a pure point guard, excuse me. But he is actually needed on that team. So now without Russell Westbrook, that team is definitely in a lot of trouble. They don't have a primary ball handler anymore. So Kevin Durant is going to definitely get, like, a lot of pressure. And are you thinking they're so upset as far as moving James Harden now, Rob? Man, that's kind of one of those moves.
Well, it's just one of these kind of things with this new salary cap. You're playing in a small market like Oklahoma City. You know, they're not an organization that's kind of prepared to pay the tax. And
yeah.
So, obviously, I think this team was capable of getting to the NBA Finals without Harden. But I think that even without even if they would have got there, I don't think they're as good a team as they were last year, OKC, without James Harden. And so they're going to have to find a way to – they got a couple of first-round picks that's going to be coming up, figure out a way to continue to improve that roster and see how they can improve in the next couple of years to win the title. But I don't think this is the year. And obviously without Westbrook, it's just going to be hurt him even more so now.
Gotcha. Let's talk about that. A lot of good things for the playoffs. And this is an interesting topic in that the Toronto Raptors are actually eyeing Phil Jackson as team president. What do you have to say about this particular story?
Well, I mean, I think everybody is at least calling the field to gauge his interest. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers did. And obviously they hired Mike Brown back. And kudos to Mike Brown in Cleveland as well, because I think, I think the Lakers unjustifiably fired him after 5 games and went 1-4. Didn't even give him a chance to turn the ship around after taking him to the second round of playoffs last year. And so kudos to Cleveland for rehiring him. And I still think he's a very solid coach and has the potential to be a great coach. So I think it was a great move by Cleveland. And we'll see. I think he can get that team back in the playoffs. And so kudos to them. But Cleveland at least reached out to Phil Jackson. I know Charlotte, Michael Jordan possibly may reach out to him as a president. So I don't see him going to Toronto, but everybody's at least calling the gates of interest. And I just don't see it. I think he may listen to Jordan just because of the connection there, but I don't see him going to Charlotte or Toronto. And I think he's just going to wait for the right situation that he can get into.
What do you think the right situation is, Rob? Do you think it's coaching, or do you think it's behind the scenes as far as like a team president?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, his situation, I think he's looking for a team in a big market. I think some kind of way the Bulls had a front office position, the Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, Los Angeles Lakers, Clippers, something like that. I think he will listen. You know, so a big market team, you know, I think he's looking for the right situation. But I just don't think he'll wind up even with Jordan being in Charlotte. I think he would listen to Jordan, but I just don't see him going there.
Gotcha. Keep it going. We are moving right along with the show. We got about 16 minutes left. Once again, I'm going to throw out some numbers. If you want to follow us, call us. The number to call the show is actually 424-243-9519. And also follow us on Twitter and Facebook, 12th Man Sports, and Talking Sports with 12th Man on Facebook. So let's talk about rebuilding the Lakers, Rob. You talked about a colossal imploding, like we talked about earlier. How do you rebuild? Do you think Dwight Howard's coming back, first and foremost, for all the fans in La La Land out there?
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, the two of us are Laker haters. And so I hope they, you know, have the number one pick in the draft next year, because I want them to be that horrible. But but let's move right along here. And but you know, I know we have a lot of Laker listeners out there. We certainly appreciate you all tuning into our show. But I think for the Lakers, in order for them to rebuild this team, they're gonna have to get more speed and quickness, and they're gonna have to get a little younger. And if I'm a Laker fan, I would not be hurt if Dwight Howard decides to leave, because I'm not sure he's a max player anymore. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he's not a max player anymore, and he's going to ask for a max contract. And I think it's almost to the point where the Lakers are going to have to rebuild. They're going to have to get younger. They're going to have to get quicker. just about from every position on the court. Steve Nash is too old. He can't keep up with the young point guards. He's not the answer. Steve Blake should be coming off the bench. And if Kobe comes back off this injury, he might be the only guy that's worth being a starter on this team. Pau Gasol's getting up in age. He needs to go into a team that possibly can use him on a contending team. But Dwight Howard is still a solid center, but he's not a max player anymore. He's not that much of a difference maker. He still doesn't have great offensive moves. I just think this team's going to have to get younger. They're going to have to get quicker. They're going to need some athletic players on the wing. They're going to need an athletic point guard. And like I said, I mean, I think if Dwight Howard stays, I would try to get him to not get a max contract. But if he moves on, I wouldn't cry if I'm a Lakers fan. But Dwight Howard is definitely going to listen to other teams, mark my word. I think it's 50-50 if he comes back to the Lakers.
Yeah, I think he's gone, man. I don't think it's a good move for him. It's one of those situations, Rob, you know, that's a statement from, you know, the Chinese proverb, you know, that says be careful what you wish for because you might get it. And, you know, he wanted to break out and he wanted to leave Orlando and he got his wish and then, you know, everything, you know, the grass is not greener on the other side. And, you know, Kobe's kind of been the man there and I'm sure he's probably putting heads against that situation. So, you know, like you said, very succinctly put, you know, he's going to listen to some teams. I don't think he's coming back. And we'll see what happens with that. So we are going to keep it moving, sir. And let's talk about the NFL. The NFL draft was obviously this past weekend. Let's talk about some moves, the quick move, some current news in that Justin Blackman has been suspended for the first four games of the opening season for substance abuse. Anything else you heard about this particular thing, Rob?
Well, obviously, this is an unfortunate situation for a rebuilding ball club in Jacksonville. And, you know, Justin Blackman, in my opinion, had quietly had a very good rookie season. And, you know, was almost uncoverable with his size and speed ratio. And I just think this is going to set them back early in the season. Not that I thought Jacksonville was a playoff team, but it's just going to set back the chemistry of this ball club. And obviously, they are going to try to stick with Blaine Gabbert. They really didn't go after a quarterback in the early rounds. So you want to get that chemistry going between Gabbert and Blackman. And missing these first four games, I think is really going to set them back a little bit here.
Wow. Keeping it moving. Good stuff, Rob. And I like where you're going. So, I mean, I know the Jacksonville Jaguars, they made a lot of moves. And I was actually impressed with Jacksonville, Rob, because sometimes – there's some teams that whenever you're watching the draft, Rob, and you know, certain teams, they just keep making dumb decisions. And I think this draft was kind of indicative of teams making, you know, pretty wise decisions, if I would say so, the least. You know, Jacksonville did a good job. You know, they picked, they got their left tackle. You know, they moved on and they got some great picks as far as, you know, adding another wide receiver. You know, so there's different things. They kind of built it. They built it right, Rob. So I think I'm very impressed with what they did, too. But that's just, you know, a little side note, too. But
yeah,
keep them moving.
But I think the key is, you know, is Blaine Gabbert the answer? And that's what we're going to have to find out.
Definitely.
So
I think,
far,
like
he
said,
hasn't given us any indication that he is.
Well, like I said, I think he's still on that rookie contract. This was kind of a make-or-break year for him. And like I said, we'll check out the draft stuff, too. And I do want to make a quick comment before we dive into that in depth, and I want to ask real quick about another big story. There's been two, obviously, with Geno Smith getting drafted by the Jets, in addition to E.J. Manuel going to the Bills at 16 very early. Now, the next story was Manti Te'o, and, of course, he was drafted by San Diego. I don't know if the San Diego's thinking they're getting a reincarnation of the late great Junior Seau. I'm going to ask you, how do you think he's going to perform at San Diego, because I keep hearing kind of, you know, one side is like, you know, this guy is not going to be an impact player in the league. So very curious to hear your thoughts about this.
Well, I'm not so sure he's going to be a Pro Bowl player, but I think he's going to be a solid NFL player. And I think, you know, going to San Diego might actually be the perfect fit for him in his background. You know, he's from Hawaii, he's Samoan. You have a lot of them in the San Diego market. So I think he might be in the most perfect situation, if there was any, for Manti Te'o. And, you know, of course, Junior Seau being Samoan, playing for the Chargers as well. So I think this could be, I'm not saying he's going to be a Junior Seau type of player, but I actually think this might be the perfect situation, if there was a perfect situation, for Manti Te'o. I think he should fit in right there in the San Diego community quite well, and I think he'll be a solid NBA player for NFL player for years to come.
Gotcha. Man, this is pretty good stuff. So we're going to keep talking about some good stuff. Let's talk about some interesting options as far as the top. And I think you made a good point here, Rob, as far as some and I guess I'm trying to figure out where I want to go with this, because I can talk about the best undrafted player of all time, or you want to talk about some draft winners or losers. So we got some options for this one. Real quick, as we get towards near the end of the show, got 9 minutes left. We're going to throw out the numbers one more time. I'll let Rob kind of figure out where we want to go. The number to call into the show, once again, it's 424-243-9519. Hit us up on Twitter, at 12 Man Sports, and on Facebook at 12 Talking Sports and 12 Man as well. So keep it moving. What do you think? Where you want to go, Rob, as far as you want to talk a little bit more about the best undrafted player, or you want to kind of dive into some winners and losers?
Yeah, let's best undrafted player of all time, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Kurt Warner, believe it or not. You know, taking his team to 3 Super Bowls, of course, winning one at the quarterback position. I know you can go in a lot of different direction there, but my pick is going to be Kurt Warner. And basically, you know, we just finished the draft, and there's some really good diamonds in the roughs here, the undrafted players that went to several different teams around the league. And you're going to each team probably is going to get about 2 or 3 of these guys that's going to make their roster as well. And so just a little thought here, but my answer would be Kurt Warner, the greatest undrafted player in NFL history, in my opinion.
Man, that's I like it. I like where you're going. You know, obviously the Super Bowls are pretty good. You got to like what's been going on with that, and we'll keep it going. I'm actually, you know, I didn't get a chance to think as much as I wanted to. My guy is still actually playing. I think a good undrafted player was Arian Foster at this time. You know, like I said, I think that, you know, his career is definitely not over yet, and I'm not saying he's going to end up like Kurt Warner, but there's a lot of them. You know, you can easily talk about Antonio Gates. Rob is another option too, as well as Warren Moon. Man, there's a lot of different players we can go for, man. So, you know, Priest Holmes comes to mind. Your favorite Tony Romo? I don't know, but you know. That's what I'm thinking.
El Busto.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot. Those are the type of ones that come into mind because, you know, those are guys that have had fantastic careers and done some good stuff too. So we'll keep them moving, sir. We got about 8 minutes left, and let's kind of talk. Let's spend the rest of the time, Rob, talking about the NFL draft, which was, you know, obviously this past weekend. And I made a comment that at first I think we were talking about it if we liked the way that the format was, and I'm actually okay with it. And if you're teams, I think it's great too, because it kind of gives you time. It seems like teams are drafting more intelligently, Robert. You know, basically, they don't have, you know, you have some teams that are always messing up, like not turning in their card like the Vikings back in the day. But I think this gives them time to kind of reset and then kind of
reevaluate. Reset their boards,
set the board, kind of, you know, make smart decisions as far as other things too. Now, there's still obviously some surprises, but, you know, it gives you some time to kind of, you know, going to that second round, and there's still the teams that always do a great job of drafting. You know, like the Pittsburgh Steelers come to mind. They always draft well, Patriots and whatnot. But you know, obviously in this instance, I like the way the format was. And I guess tell us who you thought to give us some ideas as far as your picks. It's tough because you want to wait a couple of years to see actually these guys develop into good players. But on the surface, I'm sure there's a team that you thought that drafted pretty well. That you would give a good grade to.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to get through this real quick. I have 7 winners and 5 losers in this draft, so hopefully I can get through this really quick. In my winners department, or the first team I want to go with is the Minnesota Vikings. I thought they did a tremendous job getting the 3-technique tackle in Sharif Floyd and what they did. Even though he's got short arms, but I like him as a football player. I think he's capable of eventually replacing Kevin Williams there. I like the fact they got Xavier Rhodes as well, cornerback from Florida State, and Cordarrelle Patterson, getting him in the second round. I think a wide receiver with a lot of potential from Tennessee, and I think their steal of the draft could be linebacker Gerald Hodge in the fourth round, getting him where they did. A big physical player as well. I think it really helped their ball club as well. Cincinnati is another team we're going to go with here, getting Tyler Eifert to pair him up with Jermaine Gresham, possibly have that good two tight end offense similar to the Patriots, and getting Giovanni Bernard at running back. You can have a 1-2 punch there as well with Green Ellis. And also Marcus Hunt, the defensive end from SMU as well. So I like what Cincinnati did as well in the draft. Detroit Lions, Ziggy Ansah. I think this guy's got Jason Pierre-Paul kind of potential. He's that gifted athletically. I like Detroit getting him where they did. Darius Slay, another athletic cornerback from Mississippi State. And Larry Warford, I think, is an offensive guard, very quietly at Kentucky, with dominated people there at Kentucky. So I like what the Detroit Lions did as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you talked about them drafting well. I like what they did, getting Jarvis Jones, who didn't quite have a great pro day. He doesn't really have the measurables, and you're a little bit concerned about his medical history. But I think if you turn on the film, he's a heck of a football player. Le'Veon Bell, running back from Michigan State. That's the area of Pittsburgh definitely needs some help in. And Marcus Wheaton, it could be a steal, wide receiver from Oregon State, can possibly be the guy to help them replace Mike Wallace. So I like what the Steelers did. The San Diego Chargers, I think, did really well as well. DJ Fluker graded out extremely well in this draft. Played mostly right tackle in college, but I think he can play right or left once he gets in the NFL, and the Chargers needed some help in that area. And we talked about Manti Te'o already. I think it's a good fit for the Chargers. And I like getting Keenan Allen where they got him as well. Third round wide receiver, great size, great hands. Didn't run that well at his pro day, but I think this guy could be similar to a Marcus Coastin kind of player. And he's got great leaping ability as well. I like what the Buffalo Bills did, even though a lot of people may be giving them a little slack with taking E.J. Manuel. But I think this is a team that went and made a big effort improving their offense. E.J. Manuel, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin, and even defensively, Kiko Alonso, and a sleeper on the back end in this draft, Duke Williams. Remember that name, Duke Williams, people. And last but not least on the winners, I like the St. Louis Rams, getting the West Virginia wide receivers, Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey, Sam Bradford, definitely needs some help in this draft. So getting him some help. Barrett Jones, Alec Ogletree, and hard-hitting safety T.J. McDonald from USC. I like what the Rams did. And real quick, my losers in this draft, the quarterbacks in the draft. Obviously, the quarterbacks, I think, were big losers in this draft. Only one going in the first round, and quite a few going a lot lower than what they were expected in this draft. I mean, Tyler Wilson didn't get picked into the fourth round by the Oakland Raiders. So definitely I think the quarterbacks were definitely losers in this draft. I think the Jets are losers in this draft. Even though with two first-round picks, there's some huge question marks right now with Milner and his health. And they should have picked DJ Hayden over Milton. Milner there in the first round. So there's some question marks as to what they did in the draft here. As Patriots, I think, were also losers in this draft. And to me, I don't think they made any significant pick that was really a great pick, in my opinion. And Chris Cluey, the punter for the Vikings, I think is a loser in this draft. The Vikings draft punter, Jeff Locke from UCLA. And you can hear the sayings now that the reason why they drafted the punter is because it's Chris Cluey's outspokenness in regards to gay marriages. So, you know, stay tuned to that as well. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are the losers in this draft. I mean, I think they made the worst pick of any team in the first round, taking Travis Frederick, a center from Wisconsin. This guy was a second, third-round grade, and they traded down to get him in the first round. I think they made the worst pick in the first round. So I know there's a lot of information, but those are my winners and losers in the draft. And I'm sure Andre has his as well.
You got about 60 seconds, Rob. We'll set it up for the OT portion real quick, and we'll keep it moving as well, sir.
Yeah, so stay tuned, you all. We're going to have an OT portion to continue talking about the NFL draft, so you guys don't want to miss this. Tune into the OT portion on tomorrow or on lunch break or something like that. Put on your earpiece and listen into the remainder. Click on the same link that you clicked on tonight, and you can hear our OT portion where we have lots of more information on the NFL draft. And once again, join us next Tuesday night as well, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning in Germany. Good night, people.
Good night. Thanks for listening in. We are here every Tuesday, as Rob said. We're still going to keep talking sports. Like us on Facebook. Also follow us on Twitter at 12thmansports.com. We love you guys, and we'll have a great evening, everyone out there in Radio Land. All right. Once again, another successful live portion of the show is over, and now we are in the OT portion. And, Rob, excellent job, and hopefully we'll get a chance to still talk because we didn't address our teams, and, you know, obviously being a Saints fan and being a Falcon fan, love to hear our feedback as far as what we felt our teams did in this particular draft. My winners, I actually have to give some love to the 49ers. Oh, man, and only because out of respect for all of our listeners on the West Coast, I thought they did very, very well, obviously. They not only do they get you know, definite need, is not really need, but more or less like as everyone said, they get like the underrated player in Marcus Lattimore, South Carolina. That's a great value pick. They pick up Eric Reed, the safety from LSU. I'm sure you like to hear about that. They pick up St. Kennedy, I mean, from Florida State. And it seemed like every pick, I was upset with them, Rob, because I was like, man, I want that pick. I want that pick. You know, they get another defensive end. They get their tight end. They get a wide receiver, Clinton Patton from Louisiana Tech. I mean, it seemed like every move was calculated, and it was it was well thought out. I think they got like DJ Daniels, another he almost kind of reminds you a little bit of a smaller version of Kaepernick. You know, he's kind of got some options, got some a little wiggle in him too as well, and they also come back around and get an offensive tackle as well in the draft too. So it's just they had a ton of picks. I thought, Rob, they would be moving a little bit more, but it seems like they actually stood pat and made some good draft picks. You got to like – I know this is kind of strange to hear, obviously what's been going on with Cleveland. I like what Cleveland did as well. I thought they did a pretty decent job. Barkevious Mingo, they actually drafted him. I mean, I know they kind of made value picks. So I'm kind of going off the reservation, Rob. I'm not going with just what a lot of people said too. Seattle, the NFC is getting tougher and tougher. They made some smart picks, getting a defensive tackle. They got another running back. I mean, it seems like the rich is getting richer, Rob, in this division with that. Obviously, great, great moves with that. And they're picking, they got two LSU guys, if I'm not mistaken, too. And just one more I'm going to just kind of highlight. And that, I actually thought the Ravens did pretty well, too. They all seem to draft well, so it's one of the situations they
Absolutely.
Drafted a lot of defense, and they kind of stuck with that particular brand. So, if I'm the Falcons, I'm kind of following what the Ravens are doing. They actually picked the player I wanted the Falcons to get in my guy from Kansas State, actually, my Arthur Brown pick. I thought he was going to be available, but, they picked him up, and it seems like they just they weren't really fazed by losing all their different players, so... They made some good moves, and like you said, you definitely got to give them a lot of credit as far as what they do. They always in the draft well. Let's talk about some losers, and I'm kind of similar to you. I agree. In addition to quarterbacks, you got to say some running backs didn't get drafted as high, and I guess that's a statement to the league, Rob. And I guess I was reading a stat that said that this is the first time that a running back hasn't been drafted in the first round since like 1960 something. So. Yeah, that was kind of rare not to have a first-round running back, but the game is changing. I have to give losers to the Jets because, once again, you have no idea what they're doing. They just keep drafting another quarterback. Like I said, I give them credit for drafting Geno Smith, but still, it's one of those situations where I'm sure you had other needs. And yeah, they made the trade, and they got their cornerback, and they made some moves, but you're still kind of questioning that particular move. The Eagles, I'm going to give the Eagles, man. I'm not sure what they were thinking. It seems like... Chip Kelly is in love with quarterbacks. I guess basically saying if one quarterback fails, he's going to have a backup plan. So, I'm not sure what they were thinking in that. I agree with you on the Cowboys, Rob. I think Jerry Jones was watching Duck Dynasty or something like that when he made that pick because the center just doesn't make any sense in that. But I do want to highlight there's always some teams that seem to draft well based upon their position, and we kind of made a note about the Steelers and that, Jarvis Jones, that's – You talk about that perfect fit for their particular offense, for defense, Jarvis Jones is going to fit that. I mean, you can throw out the combine numbers. I think Jarvis Jones is a player. And I was actually surprised that the Saints didn't take him. So I'm sure I'd like to hear your thoughts about how you thought your Saints did in the draft. But the Steelers always seem to draft well. You know, the Packers, they kind of used some good picks as far as getting some running backs, which you, we pretty much called those picks with Eddie Lacy. And they were kind of surprised when they traded up to get Jonathan Franklin. I thought that was an interesting move. And I want to say they drafted some actual offensive linemen to keep Aaron Rodgers upright because they had a problem with that too. But I think the running game will help out in that aspect too. So with that being said, I kind of was a little long-winded in that.
We both were, but it's all good.
Yeah. Trying to fit it all in. So just kind of want to highlight, how do you feel about your Saints? Do you think they did a good job? Obviously, Sean Payton is back. Love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, yeah, I actually think the Saints did a pretty solid job. I give them a B, and based on, I think, even though they only had five draft picks, I think they got great value with all five draft picks. And, you know, of course, the dictator took our second-round pick away, which the Saints asked for back. So I think, you know, if they would have had that second-round pick, I think they could have had an even better draft here. But I think based on the picks that they had, even with not having a second-round pick, they wound up getting two third-rounders, and they might have even got a couple of guys with some second-round value. So I think getting Kenny Vaccaro, the best safety in the draft, who can also play some nickel corner, and there's a great coverage safety as well as a good blitzing safety. And so I think that was a solid pick there, getting him where they did. And I think the Saints, had some issues with Jarvis Jones and whether, you know, I think they're concerned about how many years he will actually be able to play in the NFL. And, you know, some people think he may only be able to play 4 years with that spinal issue. So there's a little concern there as far as spending a first-round pick on him, even though he's got a, you know, a heck of a resume, what he did at the University of Georgia. And so I wouldn't mind Jarvis Jones either. But I think the Saints were happy with Victor Butler, the guy they received from Dallas as an outside linebacker. Some people just think that, you know, being behind Spencer, DeMarcus Ware, and what's that, the outside linebacker there in Dallas? Anthony Spencer, I'm sorry. Victor Butler still was an outstanding pass rusher for them. And the Saints believe he's going to be able to come in and help them along with Junior Gallette. So I don't think they felt like that the outside linebacker position was a major need as much as the fans think it might have been. So we'll have to see. And I think the third-round pick, the Saints getting Darren Armstead, probably the most gifted offensive lineman in the draft, athletically, ran a 4.7 40 times, got long arms. The Saints believe, if not this year, but next year, he would be starting at left or right tackle for the Saints. And John Jenkins, I think the Saints got the best nose tackle in the draft, and they need that going to a 3-4 defense now. This is a guy who's going to get a lot of playing time year one with the Saints. So I think that's another solid pick. And wide receiver Kenny Stills in the fifth round, I think it was another very good pick. The guy that's come in and helped him. And then Rufus Johnson, outside linebacker from Tarleton State, a guy who's gifted athletically but is going to be a project. And I think he's another guy that's probably going to be redshirted in his rookie year. But I think the Saints, for the most part, I give him a B. I think they got great value with every pick.
Tell me, what do you think about the Honey Badger? I know he probably won't want to be called that anymore. What do you think about Arizona making that pick to grab him? You think that was a good move for Arizona? This is kind of a little off topic here, but what do you think about that particular move?
I think, you know, I think this is one of the better situations he could have gone to, you know, outside of somewhere like the Saints, his hometown, things like that. But I think he's going to have a great support system there in Arizona. He and Patrick Peterson has been helping him through this ordeal. Patrick Peterson's father has been a mentor to him as well. And so I think this is a very good situation for him where he can have a very good support system. I don't think there could have been too many better places that he could have gone. So I think this is a very good move, Arizona. And I think, you know, he's going to make an impact on that team right away. He's going to get a lot of playing time. You're going to see him playing in the nickel quite a bit. You're going to see him helping. I think he's going to be a major force in special teams as well. I think this is a great pick for the Arizona Cardinals.
Gotcha. Good job, Rob. I like your enthusiasm with that. Finally, I'd like to talk about my Falcons, who made some picks. And at first, I was very ecstatic with the idea of building through the draft, which is what you should do. I know Thomas Dimitroff, he's kind of traded up, and I didn't want him to trade up that much. As much as I love the Julio Jones deal, I didn't want us to make a bold move like that because we still got to go through the draft. So we get the cornerback, Desmond Trufant, come back around, grab Robert Alford from Southeast Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And I'm not sure.
My
yeah, there you go. Yeah,
great athlete, by the way, too. Heck of a football player.
So we get to the defensive end. We get to Malachi Goodman. This dude looks like a freak. His arms are like freaking like longer than his body, it looks like. And, you know, we got, you know, very surprising to get some tight end. All I have to say about these picks is that it seems like, and very similar around the league, Rob, like I mentioned earlier, and that everyone kind of targeted certain players. These are kind of like, once you get past the third round, you're kind of leaning on your scouts. And it seems like these guys had specific players targeted. And, you know, you can't really tell at this juncture until you got a couple years down the road to see how these guys develop. So right now I like the move. We got physical. We grabbed Zeke Mata from Notre Dame. I thought that was a great pick just in case anything happens with William Moore. He can kind of come in and you get, Kendrick Ishmael from USC. So we got some good picks, and we also get the surprise and Renfrey, the quarterback from Duke. So that's what I got. We got about 4 minutes, Rob. I don't want the show to cut off, so I don't know if you want to kind of set the stage or add anything else.
So what kind of grade would you give the Falcons if you had to put a letter grade on the draft?
I would give them a B-plus at this juncture. I know a lot of people weren't happy with the picks. There's some guys that I specifically wanted us to grab. John Jenkins is one guy, even though I keep hearing that he's a couple of Twinkies from going over 380 pounds. So hopefully he'll keep his weight in check.
He's actually lost a lot of weight, though.
He has, so that was me being a jokester. But I wanted him. There's a couple guys I thought we were going to draft from a Marcus Hunt. We let that pass. I thought Marcus Lattimore would have been a good pick for the Falcons, but, he goes four picks later to the 49ers. Like you said, we're not obviously scouts, Rob. We don't have all that data in front of us. We're fans, so we have a limited amount of information, so we just kind of lean upon the football expert. So I'm not just saying I'm following him blindly, but I do have a general trust as far as what he's been doing. I like to get a little more explosive on defense, and that's our weakness, but we'll see how it plays out. So, I was going to ask you, too. Obviously, there's a couple of players that made good moves, like, Mike Glennon going to Tampa Bay. I thought was very interesting because I'm sure it's kind of one of the situations where Josh Freeman has a pretty small window, Rob, to make a move. And very surprising that Jacksonville, we talk about them, they didn't draft a quarterback. So, I think this is kind of make or break for Blaine Gabbert as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Mike Glennon of Tampa Bay. And obviously this is a just-in-case move if Josh Freeman doesn't work out. Can Glennon work out? And I think Glennon is a 50-50 NFL prospect. I think if you look at some games, it looks like this guy's a surefire top-10 pick. And you look at other games, it looks like he should be an undrafted NFL player. So he probably got picked right where he should be. And I think he's more of a 50-50 prospect going into the NFL, and, Tampa Bay is going to give him a shot. There's definitely some potential there. If you get the right coaching, he can possibly be a starting quarterback for many years to come, or he can possibly be out of the NFL in a few years. So it's going to be interesting to see how his career kind of shakes up.
Boomer bust, Matt Barkley going to the Eagles, Landon Jones making some moves. We'll see how it plays out. We officially got 2 minutes, Rob. I don't want the show to cut off, so we'll set up next week. Once again, on a wonderful night of talking sports for the 12th man.
Yeah, next week, of course, we'll probably be deep in the heart of the NBA playoffs here, probably right into the second round. So that'll probably be our main topic. We're probably going to start previewing the NBA draft here really soon now that we're done with the NFL draft. So we're still going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to start pretty soon getting into some NFL and college football predictions. So you want to stay tuned. Into the show once again next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. We still got a lot to talk about, people. Join us next Tuesday. You don't want to miss it.
Yes, sir, Rob, as always, thank you for setting up the show. We are here every Tuesday, as Rob mentioned. and we got some great topics. And, yeah, like us on Facebook. We're putting out those posts. We're showing a lot of love. We're on Twitter as well. That is what it is all about. For Robert Ford, I am Andre Pearson, and this Talking Sports 12th Man for April 30th is officially over. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel. Thank you guys so much. I want to say see Chris out, Rob. Good night.